It's good to see so many here
today. We have a lot of visitors with us, and you're our honored guests. Some are dear friends and loved ones that we know, and others may be here for the first time, and you're our honored guests. Today, I want to complete a series that I called Why Am I a Christian? Each one of us who are Christians may get that question as we interact with our friends and our co-workers and our neighbors. Why are you a Christian? Why are you? And we should be able to give an answer, give some sort of answer that points people to why we have become a Christian, why we are living as a Christian. So that's what this series is all about, is to maybe address that question, so maybe we're a little bit better prepared when we have those questions from our friends and neighbors. In our first lesson, we talked about how we have a Father. We have a Father in heaven. How we have a Savior. How we have a Holy Spirit. How we have blessings, the blessings of prayer. How we have a life full of purpose. God gives us purpose as Christians. And then we ended the first lesson with talking about how we have a personal relationship with God. A blessing that we have that. And then last week, we talked about how we have provisions provided from the Lord. Those are promised and provided for us. We have a life free of many of the troubles. Since we're not involved in many of the sins of the world, we aren't having to deal with the consequences of those sins. And then we talked about our homes, our happy homes, worshiping God and loving God. And we ended talking about how we have brethren who love us and care for us. This morning I want to continue and finish our series on why am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian? I have true forgiveness of sins. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we refer to this passage quite often because it's quite striking. You have in Corinth, you have people who were involved in all sorts of sins that are no different than we see in the world today. And then in verse 11 of chapter 6, it says, "And such were some of you," after listing those sins in the previous two verses. And then notice what happened. "You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Why am I a Christian? I have true forgiveness of my sins. And there's something else about that this is very special. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's an aspect of this that is, it's so wonderful that we should never ever take it for granted. Not only are we forgiven of our sins, but God forgets those sins. He doesn't hold them against us anymore. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 15, it says, "But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' says the Lord, 'I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.'" That's a quote from the book of Jeremiah, as a matter of fact. Think about that. "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." What a blessing a Christian has. The things we've done that we're ashamed of, that we've done in the past, they don't exist as far as God's concerned. They're gone. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a wonderful relief to be rid of the sins of our lives and to be rid of the guilt that goes along with those sins. Why am I a Christian? I can share the truth. I can share the truth. Turn over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. In this passage, the first few verses, this is where Mary is anointing Jesus. And Judas is questioning this. He's questioning this in verse 5. He says, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? I want you to notice verse 8, what Jesus says. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. You know, there's a lot of folks in poverty around us. And Christians, on a daily basis, should be helping those who are less fortunate, those who are in need. We should be helping those. But the gift that we Christians have that can transform poverty is the salvation of Jesus. The salvation of Jesus. We can offer this salvation to anybody. If you're poor and you have no hope of heaven, yes, you need the necessities of life. But what better gift can we give them than the salvation of their souls? Notice Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We sang a song about that. Nate led that a little while ago. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We Christians have been blessed with salvation. And we can share that truth with anybody around us. And there's nothing better that we can give someone to help them than the salvation of their souls. Point them to the salvation of their souls. James chapter 5, the last two verses, gives us kind of a priority in my mind of this. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Why am I a Christian? I can share the truth. I can share the gospel. We just sang a song, a beautiful song before a sermon that Bill just led about this, the power in the Word of God, the power in the truth. Why am I a Christian? No matter who forsakes me, the Lord is on my side. No matter who forsakes me, the Lord is on my side. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Isn't that one of the temptations we have today? Not being content. What do people want? Brian was telling me, him and Sarah were looking at cars. What does a car salesman want to do? They want you to not be content with your old car. They want you to buy a new car. That's their job. And there's nothing wrong with that. But many times, this lack of contentment can lead us off track with the Lord. For he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Why am I a Christian? No matter who forsakes me, the Lord is by my side. This is best illustrated in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is defending himself. And let's read verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. At my first offense, no one stood with me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how many people's lives had been changed because of the Apostle Paul's preaching? Can you imagine that? And now notice this. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. See, Paul wasn't fretting because nobody stood. He knew the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And all, that almost reminds me of when Daniel was put in the lion's den. And in the morning, he was safe. I don't know exactly what Paul is talking about here, but that's what that reminds me of. Verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Even if we're all alone, even if we're in a desolate place, even when we're in a place where it seems that we have no hope physically, the Lord's by our side. He'll be by our side. What a blessing. Why am I a Christian? No matter what comes in this life, I can live in peace. Philippians. And this is, I think this is the most popular passage that if you read through a high school yearbook is quoted. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've mentioned to you that I've been having trouble sleeping lately. Subconsciously, I have things on my mind, and then I'll have a dream or I have a thought, and I'll just be startled out of sleep. And, you know, there's all sorts of things you take to help sleep. There's melatonin, and there's essential oils, all this stuff. You know what's helped me most get sleep? Is I wake up like that and I pray. And my spirit's calmed. And I can go back to sleep. What a blessing. We can have the peace of God no matter what. And we look around us. You watch the news. You listen to the news. You just look around you. And a lot of times there's turmoil where you live. There's turmoil in our state. There's turmoil in the country. There's turmoil in the world. But you know what? No matter where you're at, a Christian can have peace. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a blessing? It's a wonderful blessing. We can have peace. We can be comforted by this peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds through Jesus. Why am I a Christian? No matter what comes in this life, I can have peace. And the last one, and I want us to look at this one in more detail than the others, because this one, I think, is at the crux of a lot of our hearts. Why am I a Christian? I have an eternal home. I have an eternal home. I know many of you travel, and I travel. I travel sometimes. I haven't had to travel that much lately, and I'm really thankful for that. I like traveling for seeing new places and stuff, but I have a... some of you know this, some of you that I've confided in you, and sometimes I even reach out to you when I'm on travel. You ever go on travel and you start missing home? You start missing being with your family? We went to a meeting down in Athens a little while ago. Jason Shackelford was there. And he was there by himself. And he's got a wife and some kids. And he's the first, one of the very first preachers I've ever heard just say, you know what? Sometimes I miss my family. Even though I'm preaching the gospel, I miss my family. And I'm like that. I get like that. And it's this desire. You go away, and what do you want? You just want to go home. You ever feel like that? You ever have that feeling? I remember one time, and it's over 10 years ago. It was in 2008. I went to New Jersey for a meeting for our company. And they wanted me to make a presentation at a meeting on Saturday. And those of us who work and travel, Saturdays are precious because that's time we don't want to give up that time. That's family time. That's time to be home. And they promised they would get me out first thing in the morning on Saturday. They wanted me to speak at this conference, so I agreed to it. So if any of you have traveled through New York, New Jersey, you know that nothing's certain when you travel. Nothing's certain. I get there, and guess what? They cancel my flight. I can't get out until like 7 o'clock at night, and I'm stuck at the airport. And I just want to go home. Just want to be with my kids. Just want to be with my family. It's a powerful, powerful feeling. And I know some of you have that thought. It's an agonizing thing because sometimes you want to be home, but you can't be. We want to be home because that's where our loved ones are. We want to be home because that's where we have this special feeling of just being at peace and comfort at home. My son Daniel, when he comes, sometimes he'll say this, and it really strikes me, and it's a testament to the brethren here. He'll say, "It's good to be home." He means it's good to be home with his family. It's good to be home with the brethren he was raised with. But you know something? Daniel loves to be home at his home in Georgia, too. He loves to be home with his wife. That's a special feeling we have that is so powerful. But there's something else waiting for the Christian. There's an eternal home. We get a taste of that eternal home when we can have that feeling of being with our family or being with our Christian family. We have that feeling. But there's something much greater waiting for us. You know, this term, eternal life, is mentioned 68 times in the New King James Version. 68 times it's mentioned. We're going to look at a couple of those now. Open your Bibles, please. And just as Aaron said, follow along to see what God is speaking to you. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 29. This is after Jesus interacts with what we call the rich young ruler. After he talks with the apostles, now he's speaking more to the apostles. He says, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life." Eternal life. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Many times when I turn to this passage, and we'll read starting in verse 14. But when we look at John 3:16, Dion, I always think about that lesson sermon you did. The believer of John 3:16. And I remember us being on the TV program talking about that. And I think about that quite often. It's such a powerful passage. Starting in verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," Aaron referred to that in his sermon this morning, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The next verse, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God, of the only begotten Son of God." Here we see the blessings, the eternal blessings that are mentioned here. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift," and in some translations it says, "the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Eternal life. There's, like I said, there's 68 references to eternal life in the New Testament. Imagine the special feeling of being home with your loved ones forever. Why am I a Christian? Because I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home to be with my loved ones. I want to be with the Father I've read about and I've studied and given my life to. I want to go home to be with my Savior. I want to go home. Why am I a Christian? I want to go home. I have a Father who knows my flaws and has provided a way for me to be forgiven. I have a Savior who died for me and intercedes for me. And I have a Holy Spirit who has told me all about it through His Word. I want to go home. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I think this is a beautiful passage to tell us why we want to be in heaven forever. Your presence is a fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Philippians 1:23, back in the New Testament. Philippians 1:23. Notice the Apostle Paul's struggle here. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is much better. Anything we've experienced in this life, any time we've come home and had such pleasantness being in our home, or any time we've worshipped with like-minded brethren and enjoyed that fellowship, there's something better waiting for us. These are just tastes of that heavenly home. Revelation 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, notice this, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. I want to go home. Why am I a Christian? I want to go home. In this series, we've talked about many reasons why I'm a Christian and why you're a Christian, and the blessings that we enjoy being Christians. For those of us who are Christians, let us be ready to answer this question with our friends. Let's be ready and prepared. When they ask us, why are you a Christian? Let's be ready to talk about the blessings that we all enjoy so they can have salvation, so they can have an opportunity to come to Jesus. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're missing out. You're really missing out. There's a lot of these blessings that we've talked about you're missing out on. Let me read another passage here from Titus. Titus chapter 3. And this is kind of a cool summary passage in my mind for what we've been talking about. Titus chapter 3, starting with verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If you're not a Christian, you're missing out on this. If you're not a Christian, you haven't been able to be saved from your sins. And your souls have not been washed. And you don't have eternal life to look forward to. We encourage you to want to go home. Want to come home with the Lord and His people both now and forever. The last passage this morning, John chapter 14 and verse 23. We'll start in verse 22 because this is in response to a question. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And notice what happens. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you're not a Christian, the Lord wants to make a home with you. He wants you to come to him now. And it's very simple. You need to believe in him. You need to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to repent, turn away from your sins, and turn toward God, and be immersed in the waters of baptism so your sins can be washed away. If you want to go home, there's no better time to decide to do that than right now. We've talked about many reasons that a Christian has blessings. We implore anybody here who needs assistance from Christians who need assistance from other Christians or those who want to become a Christian. We encourage you to come while we stand and sing.